Okay, we're going to get started. We're online. We want to welcome everybody that's watching online tonight to Waldo Baptist Church and our Bible study this evening. It's good to have you watching and listening to us as we do our Bible study. We're going to be in the 13th chapter of the book of Romans this evening as we continue our walk through Romans, and we'll be beginning in the 11th verse of the 13th chapter of the book of Romans. And it's good to be here with you all tonight and those that are watching online. I want to pray for those that aren't able to be here but would like to be and not able to be here this evening, and want to remember them in our prayers. And we have a quilt up here that Jan has made for Sue Heine. We'll be praying over that after we go offline this evening. So I'll go offline just a little bit early because of that. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you today in the mighty name of Jesus, thanking you for so great a salvation. Father, we are amazed at, first of all, how you could save us, change our life, make us a new creation, put your spirit in us, give us a heart that could respond to you, show us your love, and give us a heart of love for you. You indeed do a miraculous thing when you save our very wretched souls and make us a child of God. We give you praise and glory because of who you are. Father, tonight we pray you not only open our ears, but open our minds and hearts to your word, that we might hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin against you. Father, give us strength for each day as we face each new day, a day we've never lived before. Father, we pray that you might guide us and lead us, and Lord, that your Holy Spirit might always prepare us and lead us for each new day. Thank you for everyone that's here tonight and everyone that's watching online. Be with those that aren't able to be here that are watching because of sickness or different things that might keep them from it. Lord, we pray for all of them. For each one that's watching online, we pray for them and their families. Father, we thank you for your word, which is an absolute treasure. It, Lord, is a love letter from you and a roadmap to heaven. We thank you, Father, that you've given it to us as you have given us this salvation we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, lead us and guide us as we walk through these scriptures tonight, and may you be glorified in everything that's done. For we ask it in the name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. We've been studying in the 13th chapter of Romans, and we've been looking at God has given us instructions into our Christian life as how we are to live. And the last thing we looked at is how we pay our debts, how we manage our finances, how we that we are instructed to pay our taxes. And then I was looking at some scripture that I didn't even read last week, like verse 8 of the 13th chapter, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law." And then he goes on with the commandments as he goes through them, and they're all summed up. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. When I was saved at CTS Corporation, of all places, the first thing that I realized was that where there was such a great lack of love in my heart, now it was full. That I had a love for others that I had never had in all my life. And realized that it wasn't because of anything I had done, but it was because of what God had done. Because of what he'd done in my heart and in my life. And so Love is a wonderful thing. When we get to heaven, some people have asked, well, you know, what will that be like? And they say, well, will you know your wife as your wife? I said, I don't think so. I will have known she was my wife, and I will know who she is, and she will know who I am. But I said, I think in heaven we'll all love each other with perfect love. It'll be absolutely perfect. And it won't matter who anybody is. We'll love them perfectly, and they will love us perfectly as Christ has loved us. And so that is a wonderful thing. Now tonight, as we get into the scriptures, we're going to see three commands that God gives us in the scriptures as we look. We're going to begin in the 11th verse of the 13th chapter. And he says, and do this. That sounds like my wife. Oh, and do this also. And do this, understanding the present time. Understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside or put off the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the evil nature or the sinful nature. So he's going on here, he's giving us instruction in how we are to live out our lives. And he gives them, you know, the thing about it is, in that day, as Paul was writing to believers, and in the book of Romans and others, about 2,000 years ago. And you think about that. And you know, I'm an old guy. I'm 79 years old. So I'm an old guy. But in eternity, it's like the blink of an eye. The scripture says, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. So in writing to them, he was saying to them, wake up. Jesus is coming. Wake up. Jesus is coming. And I'm pretty sure that they took that from Paul as a day-to-day thing. As they got out of bed that morning, is he coming today? As they went to bed that night, I wonder if will he come while I'm asleep tonight? And a day-to-day thing. And as I was studying this, I thought, Jack, that's how you should live. This could be the day. This could be the time. This could be the hour. That I ought to live in expectation. And so as we look at this scripture, it's very informative as we look at it. And in that day, when the scripture said, clothe yourself or put on this garment, they understood exactly what he was talking about. And so you put on Jesus Christ. Well, let's talk about that a minute. When you were justified, when you were saved, when you repented of your sins, and you prayed and accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you were baptized into Christ, Scripture says. You were placed into Christ. But also at the same time, you were clothed, not only in Christ, but in His righteousness. In His righteousness. So when the Father looks at you, He doesn't see you. He sees His Son, and He sees His righteousness in you. So you were automatically clothed in His righteousness. So then why, when we come to the scripture here, does it say clothe yourself or put on Jesus Christ. Because we're talking about two different things. One is positional righteousness. Number one, it's positional righteousness. What is that? That's justification. You were justified by the grace of God. It was a gift of God when you repented of your sins and placed your faith in Christ. Positionally, you were declared absolutely righteous by an almighty God. That's positional righteousness. But then we come to practical righteousness. Well, positional righteousness is a gift from God. It is a declared gift from God that you were declared righteous in His sight because of what His Son did for you on the cross and your faith in Him when He led you, the goodness of God led you to repentance and you received Christ as Lord and Savior. Positionally, you were declared righteous for all eternity in the sight of God. That's positional righteousness. You didn't do that. God did. Now comes the hard part. Now is where the rubber meets the road. Because I am positionally righteous with the Father because of what the Son has done for me and in me, now I have an obligation for practical righteousness. I have an obligation to clothe myself each day because I'm being sanctified. The word sanctified means to be set apart. So positionally, I was set apart by the gracious act of God when He declared me righteous in His sight. I was positionally declared righteous by the gift of an almighty God, and now I'm out of justification. You see, a lot of people have this all mixed up. They don't understand. A lot of people think, I got saved, I go to heaven. No, you get saved, and then you live like you're going to heaven. Because there's this part in between called sanctification. And when you get right down to it, Jesus didn't die for you because you were good. And He didn't die for you because you deserved it. And He didn't die for you because you earned it. He died for you because you couldn't do it. Because you weren't good. Because you couldn't earn it. And so we were given this great gift. Now I've been justified, declared righteous, regenerated, given a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone so I can respond to God, made alive spiritually. Now I'm in the process of sanctification where God is changing me to be like His Son Jesus Christ because that's what He saved me for anyway. You see, everybody thinks, well, I got saved to go to heaven. No, you got saved to be made like Christ and then go to heaven. So you're in the process of sanctification. Now the instructions we have here are all about sanctification. All about sanctification. Somebody asked me one time, well, you know, my wife, she's a planner. I fly by the seat of my pants. If somebody asked me, what are you going to do tomorrow? I don't know. I have to wait and see what happens. I don't plan out every day and every minute and every hour of the day. I have sort of found out that God has different plans than I do most of the time anyway. But that's the way I am. So as I get up every day, I need to have a talk with myself. And I need to say, self, you need to clothe yourself in Christ today. Because when others see you, what are they going to see? Or who are they going to see? Are they going to see that you've clothed yourself in Christ so they'll see Christ? Or are they going to see Jack Russell? Which one are they going to see? Because everybody's watching. You may not know it, you may not realize it, but they are. Especially family. Especially grandkids and great-grandkids and all the rest of the bunch. They're watching. And so I have, this is not, I clothe myself in Christ today, and then that takes care of everything. No, I've got to do this every day. I've got to do this every day, because every day is a new day I never lived before. And I have no idea what's going to happen. And so as we look at this, that's what I want us to kind of see, that this is something that we do every day. Now then, I want to look at my notes so I don't miss anything, which I probably will anyway. But there's some things I want to bring out here. We're going to the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 11. Give you a minute to get there. It's not a very big book. It's right after 2 Timothy. And 2 Timothy is right after 1 Timothy. I thought I'd just let you know that. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Not so easy to find. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say, what does the grace of God teach us? It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-control, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. So here in Titus, we have about the same thing being said that they're saying here in Romans chapter 13 when we look at this. And sometimes I'll have people ask me, they'll say, well, doesn't the law still count for something? And I will say, well, the law is still in effect, but you know the law can do is make us guilty and lead us to Christ. But I say, I have a greater law. And the law that teaches me and the law that leads me is the grace of God that saved me when I was totally unworthy and incapable of saving myself, that I have been saved by grace, and that grace that saved me and changed my life motivates me and leads me and teaches me to want to live a life that is pleasing to God. So I've got a problem here. You say, well, what's your problem? That's what you're supposed to say. What's your problem then? Well, I see all kinds of people that say they're saved. They're going to go to church. They're at the bar drinking. They don't talk like a Christian. They don't live like a Christian. They don't walk like a Christian. And yet they say they're saved. There's something wrong with this picture somewhere. Because if the same grace of God saved them that saved me and put the desire in my heart to live for Christ, then why didn't it them? In other words, I got the feeling, I got a pretty good idea that it never happened to them. Because if it had, they'd have the same desire that I have. Now then, is it easy? No. Nobody ever said living the Christian life would be easy. They just said it would be glorious. Not easy. So each day, I have to clothe myself in Christ. Each day, I have to remind myself, hey, Jack, you're an unworthy worm and a wretch, and you were saved by the grace of God, and God did something for you that you couldn't do for yourself, so how are you going to live today? And put on and clothe myself in Christ. Do I always do that perfectly? No way. Do I really want to? You bet. So I have this struggle going on each day. I'm like Paul. That which I want to do, I do not do. And that which I do not want to do, sometimes I do. And that is how sanctification works, as God is working out His salvation in each of us as believers. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no, no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. All right, now I'm going back to Romans. But you'll find this throughout Scripture. I just ain't got time to go to all of them. All right. Bless you. Now then, I've already covered that. So there's three commands here. All right, understand this. We could throw four. First one, well, this is the first one. Wake up. Wake up. How many of you remember a guy named Clint Scurlock? Y'all remember Clint Scurlock? You know what his nickname was? Nobody knows. His nickname was Sleepy. You know why they call him Sleepy? Because every time he sat down, he'd go to sleep. Well, he'd be in church, and he'd doze off. And I ain't got any sense anyway. So when he'd doze off, I'd just yell out from the pulpit, "Hey, Clint!" And he'd wake up, and he'd look around. And what was so funny, it was funny, but it was precious too. Sometimes he'd think I was called on him to give his testimony. He'd stand up and start giving his testimony. And his testimony was long. But his name was Clint Scurlock, and Clint would have to wake up. And you know, the Lord wants a lot of Christians to wake up and realize that time is near. The hour is coming. And that's what he's talking about here, that we need to wake up. We won't know the time, but we know the season. And as I was getting at before, what we think is a long time to God is absolutely nothing. What is that compared with eternity? You say, well, since Christ was crucified, rose from the dead, and seated at the right hand of the Father, it's been thousands of years. He ain't come back. I say, well, what is that to the Father who lives out eternity? And what will that matter to me when I'm with Him in eternity? It will seem like a speck of sand on the seashores of the world when I realize what eternity really is like. And so the Scripture says, live each day because He's coming, and as if He's coming, and expecting Him to come. To wake up then, to wake up from our slumber. And Scripture goes along with that everywhere we look. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. I am closer to heaven now than I've ever been in my life. And so are you. You are closer to the second coming now than you've ever been in all your life. All of us are. And so this is the point he's trying to get across. To wake up from our slumber. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believe. And then he says, the night is nearly over and the day is almost here. Well, when he says the night is nearly over, what's he talking about? What happens at night? Huh? Well, I sleep too, Miss Brigida, and I enjoy it. But it gets dark, doesn't it? You say the sun goes down at night and it gets dark. Well, what he's talking about is darkness. Well, that's man's time, darkness. Well, what happens when it the day comes. Light. When the day comes. I deer hunted all my life till I got too old, and I said, this is stupid. You go out there and sit in a tree before daylight, freeze your hind end off, and wait for a deer to come by when you've got the refrigerator full of food. This don't make sense at all. And somebody said, you still deer hunt? I said, I'm not mad at them anymore. It don't matter. I remember sitting at a deer stand, and I've hunted when it was 7 degrees above zero and ice and snow on the ground and everything else. And I'd sit there shivering, thinking, oh, God, I'll be glad when that sun comes up. And that sun would finally come up over the horizon, and that sun rays would finally hit me, and I could feel that warmth and those sun rays on me, and I'd say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let me tell you something. The light is coming. The light is coming. The day is coming. What day? The day of the Lord. The light is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. That's why each of us, as a born-again believer and a child of God, have to clothe ourselves each day in Christ, because the light is coming. The day is coming. And what about all those, if your family's like mine, I've got family members that aren't saved. I've got friends that aren't saved. People I know that's not saved. I've got neighbors that aren't saved. What happens when the light comes? They'll miss it. They'll miss it. In fact, I'll show you scripture later that tells you what happens when the light comes. But this is what he's trying to tell us. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. The day is almost here. So let us, what? Put aside, NIV says. The King James may say throw off. I'm not sure. I haven't got the King James with me. But you clothe yourself in the righteousness of Christ at salvation, and you clothe yourself in sanctification each day as you live. There are places you used to go, you don't go. There's things you used to do, you don't do. And, you know, I have a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't do this, and I don't do this, and I don't do this, so I'm going to heaven. You know what I say to them? That telephone post out there don't drink, smoke, or chew, or run with those that do, but it's not going to heaven. You don't go to heaven because of what you didn't do. You go to heaven because of what Christ did. And you accept him as your Lord and Savior when you repent of your sins. And so he's saying to wake up, and then he says there's some things you need to throw off. My wife tells me this all the time. She said, look at all them shirts you got up there, and you wear the same ones over and over again. You need to take some of them old ones and throw them off. And I said, well, I can't do that. Those are good shirts. You know, there's things in our life that shouldn't be there. And I'm not talking about my shirts now. She's right about them. There's habits. There are things in our life. The Bible says that we have to take off the weight as we run the race. And the sin that so easily besets us. You say, well, what is that sin? I say, well, it's different for each person. Each person has a greater temptation in one area than they do the other. Each one of us do. We're different. And so there's things that we need to put off or throw off that's in our life. We need to not do that anymore, or go there anymore, or be involved in that anymore. We need to stop that. We need to put it off. We need to throw it off, just like you would an old garment. Throw it away and put it behind you and go on from where you are. And so, and that's what the Bible is talking about here. Let us put aside the deeds of darkness, of the world, the flesh, this world system in which we live today. I'm amazed by the ignorance of people in general to what's really important as I listen to them, watch them on television and everything that's going on in our world today that everybody is so involved in and so drawn into. I'm thinking, don't you see it? Don't you understand? Don't you realize that this is just a moment, a speck in eternity, and you're here, and the only thing that really matters is what you've done with Christ, and nothing else really matters that much. And you're so engrossed in everything else, you cannot see the forest for the trees. And this is the world we live in today, by and large, that we live in. So there are things that we need to throw off and that we need to take off and put away in our life. And the way he's giving it here, it is an urgent need that we have in our life. The night is nearly over. It's nearly over. And the day is almost here. It's almost here. And you know, as I look at our world and I look at what's going on around the globe today, I wonder if it isn't almost here. Really. Really. As I look at what's going on in the Middle East and everything that's happening today, I wonder if it isn't almost here. But I should live as if I'm expecting it to be here anytime. And that's what he's talking about here. So there's things that we have to throw off in our life as a believer because of the grace of God that saved us. And I'm not going to go through that. 1 Peter 4:7. Oop, I went right past it. And it's easy to find in your Bible. It's right before 2 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. And here we have the same thing. It just goes over and over in the Scripture as we really look at it. And he says, the end of all things is near. The end of what? The near end of all things as we know it. As we know it. And you know, I don't know what you're going through right now. I know Christina's mom is going through a real hard time with the treatments for cancer. And I know Debbie Lovin is. And I know Celeste Goins is. And I know that Daryl Bunning has been declared cancer-free, thank God, through his treatments. And I pray that the others are too. I pray for them every day. So I don't know what they're going through right now. I know Kay and I have been a year and a half going through really probably the greatest trials we've ever faced in our life. And we've been so blessed. And I know everybody, I know Miss Carol Moorhead back there has been suffering from back pain for, I think she told me, 8 years. And everything that different people are going through. But let me ask you this question. When we're with Christ for 10,000 years, will it matter? When we're with Christ for 20,000 years, will it matter? When we're with Christ for 50,000 years, will it matter? No, not at all. Sometimes I have to talk to myself and I have to put things in perspective. Do you ever get the mully grubbies? Sometimes the mully grubbies come when someone we love is hurting, someone we love is suffering, or we're suffering or we're hurting. Kay says, I'm a bad patient. And then I start thinking about eternity, and I start thinking about what the Lord has done for me, And I start thinking about 10,000 years. I cannot wrap my head around 1,000 years. I can't wrap my head around 500 years, much less eternity. When I look back in my glorified body, and you in your glorified body, and we've been with Christ for 1,000 years, will it matter? Not at all. Not at all. So I have to put things in perspective. This is what he says. He says here in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7, the end of all things is near. Therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. So that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, and each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. And if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Over and over again, he has to remind us of how we should live out our lives as a born-again believer and a child of God. And he reminds us over and over again. Why does he remind us? Because so easily we forget that the end is near. That the end is near. And you know, the Bible says life, James said life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. Sometimes I lie in bed and I think about back when. Back when I was a child. Back when I was a child. And it seems like it was yesterday. And then I go look in the mirror and I say, I don't say amen, I say oh me when I look in the mirror, because I think, my goodness, how you've changed. But then I think, one day, and it could be today, you'll have a glorified body and you'll be with the Lord. And all these things that you worried about and all these things that you suffered over will just be a distant memory, and it won't even matter because of where you are and who you're with. And so he reminds us over and over again about these things. All right. In James chapter 5 verse 8, the coming of the Lord is near. He tells us over and over. And he says this, be patient. That is hard for me. Man, I drove in Louisville Tuesday and Wednesday. My wife says, you have no patience. And she was right on. She was right on. Let me tell you why you and I have to be clothed with Christ every day. Why we have to put on Christ and why we have to be clothed in Christ. Because of what it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. This is what it says. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. The Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven when the Lord Jesus comes with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. That's why we have to put on Christ every day. Every day. And I have to remind myself of that every day. Every day. All right, let's go back to Romans. I'll do my best here. If I don't tear this up, drop my Bible, throw something else on the floor. Now, that's 1 Kings. I don't want to go there. Romans chapter 13. There we are. All right. Now, what does he say? Verse 12, the night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime. Put on. So we've got three commands. Wake up, put off, and put on. Wake up, put off, and put on. So each day I have to remind myself of those three commands. And I got to remind my right leg not to go to sleep because I sat so long. So don't worry, Charlie, I'm not coming back there. But anyway, we see that every day I've got to remind myself, hey, Jack, wake up. This could be the day the Lord is coming. Then I've got to remind myself, there are some things in your life you need to put off. You need to put them away. And then I got to remind myself, Henry, there's some things in your life you got to put on. You got to put them on in your life, you know. So you got to wake up, you got to put off, and you got to put on. And so I've got to put on Christ every day, and I've got to put on these things in my life where that when Hazel, as she grows up, she looks at great Papa, and she sees Christ, she doesn't see me. And that Flora, I didn't like that name, that's my grandmother's name, and I love my grandmother, but I didn't like that name, but I like it more now because I see Flora. And so anyway, Flora looks at me, she doesn't see Jack, she sees Christ. So every day I've got to remind myself. It reminds me of what Susan Brinker would always tell her children when they'd leave home. Remember who you belong to. Remember who you belong to. I've told you what my mom would always tell me before I would ever walk out the door. Son, you do what's right. Son, you do what's right. She'd always tell me two things before I ever walked out the door. As I was walking out, she'd say, son, I'm praying for you. And then she'd say, son, you do what's right. That's what God says. You do what's right. Ed Douglas wore a cap all the time and said, what would Jesus do? That's what he wants me to do. That is what he wants you to do. So those are the commands we have to remind ourselves of every day. To wake up, realize that the day is almost here. The night is almost gone. And the day is almost here. And I've got things in my life still yet. God's still working on me. I'm not the finished product. God help us. And neither you. God help you. You're not either. I don't see no perfect people. I just see broken people need to be fixed, just like me. But anyway, we need to put on then the things of Christ in our life. Put off those things that aren't Christ-like and put on those things that are like Christ in our life. And as I was saying, driving in Louisville, Kentucky, I was having a hard time putting off those things that weren't Christ-like and putting on those things that were Christ-like as I drove in that traffic in Louisville. And so I can identify with all of you. I can identify with all of you. And I know how difficult that is. But I also know how important it is. Because the night's almost over. The day is coming. The day is almost here. It could be today. So as we go through our life as a Christian, those are the things we have to remind ourselves every day. Wake up, put off, and put on. Put on those things that glorify God and make you look like Christ in your life every day. And as you all already know, I run into Christina and Jason and at Walmart the other day. And they said something like, we see you're in your favorite place. And they know how much I was at Walmart at least three times this week. At least three times this week. And boy, I'm telling you what, sometimes I have to bite my tongue. And I have to tell myself, Jack, you need to wake up. You need to wake up now. You've been waiting in line a long time, but you need to wake up. You need to put off what you're thinking. Put that off. And you need to put on that patience of Christ so that when you get there, you see they see Christ in you. Not what you'd like to say, but what you need to say because you belong to Him and you've been saved by the grace of God. Amen? Let's go offline, brother. God bless you. Appreciate all of you this evening.